We'll call the June 7th Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing, approval of the agenda, Mr. Baker.
Yes, I do have several suggestions. First, under old business, conditional use 1862, I'd like to recommend that we defer on that till, at least till next week.
Okay.
We have some people who are here for that, so, no, here, okay, I understand.
Yes. We've been asked by the applicant to defer on that. And then under executive session, we do not need land acquisition or job applicants' qualifications.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Entertained a motion to approve the amended agenda?
Okay, you got it.
Have a motion?
Second.
And a second. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. In our packets, we had the minutes of May 17th and May 24th. Any corrections, questions on those? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Rutt.
There's one letter today, Mr. President. It's from the Delaware Community Foundation, dated May 24, 2011, directed to David B. Baker, County Administrator. Dear David, this is to acknowledge and thank Sussex County Council for its recent $750 contribution to the Laurel Alumni Scholarship Fund, Inc., held at the Delaware Community Foundation. At the DCF, we recognize that community dreams can be fulfilled through the power of giving, and with that recognition comes a deep sense of responsibility and a sincere belief that each of us really can make a difference. Thank you once again for your thoughtfulness. As always, your generous charitable support is greatly appreciated. No goods or services were furnished in connection with this contribution, which we received on May 20, 2011. If I can be of service to you, please don't hesitate to call me. And this is signed by Fred C. Sears, the second president and CFO. And that's all the correspondence.
And my council meeting correspondence.
Oh, yes, I have one from the VIA somewhere in this little pile. Thanking, that's the Village Improvement Association of Rehoboth. Thanking council for a contribution to their efforts to improve the old building that they've been using for, I don't know, 100 years.
Okay.
Old. Getting help.
Anything else from council? Okay, Mr. Baker.
Yes, the first item we have is introduction to the library director. And with us today, we have Mrs. Kathy Grabeel, who is our new county library director. And she's taking over for Carol Fitzgerald. His last day is today.
Oh.
And Mrs. Grabeel has...
And don't you forget it, right?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Mrs. Grabeel has 20 years, or more than 20 years of library experience with the... she has a master's degree in library science. She's worked for the State Division of Libraries as well as the Lewis Library, where she started in 1988. And we, of course, like again to thank Carol Fitzgerald for her 25-year service as the county librarian.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm just hoping to continue.
Yes. I thank you very much for the opportunity to have served the county for the last 25 years. And I am very pleased to move over and let my successor, Kathy Grabeel, proceed. I know that there will be great things from libraries in the years to come. Thank you.
That's why we're using the word successor.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all your effort the last 25 years to the county. We appreciate that very, very much.
Thank you.
And welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
And,
it's been great so far.
We'll tell you the same thing 25 years from now when you get ready.
There you go. That's what I'm hoping.
I have a question, Ms. Grabeel.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, first of all, I know we're lucky to have you, and congratulations.
Thanks so much.
I got a call the other day from one of our very active constituents in the community asking about the READ program. Do we not have that anymore, the literacy program?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that's to teach adults to read and write and so that they could get a job or whatever. Yeah.
Or improve their skills, certainly.
Right. And we don't have that anymore, is that right? Because the person retired?
Retired, uh-huh. And of course, you know, it was right at the beginning of the economic downturn.
Yes.
And we were tightening our belts, but it's needless to say, for libraries, literacy is at the top of the list.
Right, okay. So there's been no movement towards replacing that person, Mr. Baker?
We haven't, although I will say that there is a new there's new software programs that we have purchased actually to help with reading and language skills and even job skills that will be available to anyone who has a library card.
That's correct.
Even at home on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And even.
And additionally, that we have the job labs mm-hmm. that are opening in Seaford mm-hmm. and in Georgetown that will have a literacy component there as well. So,
but if you can't read, then yes. would you still be able to participate? How would you?
That's exactly the question.
So.
Those who read at fourth grade level or below mm-hmm. really have limited skills and can't mm-hmm. Use those other. Mm-hmm. Resources.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where the Reads program was trying
yes.
to address
right.
those with the very lowest of reading skills. So that will be something that Kathy will have to be looking at.
We'll be talking okay. about it, I'm sure.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Of course.
I'm glad
Anything
to have
else?
An answer.
More questions?
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Everybody.
Have a great day. Thank you.
It's the last.
It should be a great day then, shouldn't it?
I learned to read in first grade. I didn't know I went to library.
Mr. Baker?
The next item is employee tuition reimbursement policy, and with us today we have Ms. Karen Brewington. Part of the budget proposal was a recommendation to establish a standard education tuition assistance program for employees, and there is $20,000 in the personnel budget proposed for that program. And just as a summary of some of the terms of the proposed terms for the program, courses must be related to and benefit the county's or the employee's current county position or a probable future assignment. Courses must be pre-approved, must be taken on the employee's own time. A grade of C or better is required for reimbursement or would be required for reimbursement. 75% of the cost of the course would be reimbursed subject to a $1,500 per year maximum. We would not reimburse for expenses such as books and travel and so on. If an employee leaves county employment within a year after completion of the course, we would request reimbursement and just for the cost of the course. It would not apply to the paramedic department because they have their own separate previously instituted policy. Of course, it would be subject to the availability of funds, and it would be effective July 1st. And if there were other funds, for instance, the employee received a grant or scholarship or something like that, we would reimburse on the net cost. And our goal would be to provide a more uniform basis to encourage employee career advancement, and encourage employees to further their education and better enable them to handle increasing responsibilities. And Mrs. Brewington and the personnel department have been working on this, and she also has a policy and application form that they've worked on.
Yeah, and I passed out the copy of the tuition policy and the form.
Okay. Any questions from council?
That replaces our not having a policy?
No.
Oh, that's good work.
So making it consistent.
Wonderful.
We have reimbursed for employee employees'
yes.
courses in the past.
I was reimbursed for a course I took. Yes.
but typically, and this really sort of follows what we've done, mm-hmm. except
it's a policy.
It's really a guideline, a standard guideline.
It's a formal policy.
Yes.
Versus,
very good.
Right.
Hit or miss.
So even the council can go get
yes,
school.
George, you could go.
Get school.
Not an antique.
No, I'm just wondering. I mean, is there a requirement that you take something that's pertinent to your job?
Yes.
You're right.
Current or a probable
okay.
position.
I'm trying to think of something. All right.
Any more questions from council? Okay, Mrs. Brewington, thank you very much for all this work on this. It's a very good program, and I think it'll benefit the employees. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think I'll take something for county administration.
You go.
If there aren't any.
No, maybe lawyer. I'm looking down there at Dave. Go to law school.
Becker.
If there aren't any concerns, we'll go ahead and implement
sure.
it July
yes.
1st, assuming the budget
passes.
Passes, yes. the next item is County Administrator's Report. Pass it out. First item is Emergency Operations Center call statistics. 7,815 911 calls were received during the month of April, with 74% of the calls being made from wireless phones. Over 2,100 incidents were dispatched. State police report, per the April report, Delaware State Police handled 3,678 complaints during the month, and 1,146 criminal arrests were made. Dog licensing, as of May 31, 168,765 has been collected since December 2009, and 91,330 was received during the current fiscal year. Sussex County Prayer Breakfast will be held on June 14th, next Tuesday, beginning at 6:45 a.m. at the Crossway Community Church outside of Georgetown. Tickets are $15 and are available by calling 855-7743. Thank you.
I have a question about the police report. Does that report tell us how many of those 40 troopers that we pay for are actually stationed in Sussex County?
No, it does not.
It does not.
We we receive a – well, we had a meeting yesterday, Mr. Vincent and I, at the – it was recommended at a previous council meeting. We had a meeting with the colonel of the state police and Major Simpson, and we went over some of the numbers, which we'll be back to the council with. In fact, we've asked them for a separate report that would address those issues.
Yeah, I think that should be checked into. Mm-hmm. See, make sure that they're not temporarily being assigned elsewhere. Make sure they're here.
We specifically talked about the count of mm-hmm. state police in
right.
the county, and we're they will be sending us a summary,
okay.
which we will provide to the council.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. More questions, Mr. Baker? Mr. Hal Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, good morning. I have two issues to discuss with you. First, the municipal police grants. We have two towns, Dagsboro and Allendale, are both requesting disbursement of their full allotment of $20,000 per town. And both towns are informing us that they're going to use this for basic salaries, to the extent that the town administrator of Dagsboro went so far as to add a note on their request stating that funds are being used to offset regular salary expenses, not to provide additional salaries. So Dagsboro and Allendale are both going to use their $20,000 to help offset their salary costs.
Okay. You have a motion, sir?
I do. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve two disbursements, one to Dagsboro and one to Allendale, in the amount of $20,000 as their full allotment for this year's Municipal Police Grant Fund.
So moved.
Have a motion, Mr. Cole?
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion?
I just have a question about what we're doing in the 2012 budget. Are we making any changes in the criteria in these grants to the towns?
We didn't try to delineate the
okay.
changes, but we did definitely indicate in the budget letter that mm-hmm. we do need to address that
okay.
and try to tighten it up a bit, and that's so
okay.
we will be doing that.
Okay, thanks.
Any more questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Yes, sir. Second issue is it is June, so I'm spending some time in the legislature, and I have a few bills to review with you in your package on Friday. I included my weekly report, and the issues that I wanted to lift out for discussion from that report are House Bill 152, which was just introduced last week by our friend Dave Wilson. Representative Wilson was very accommodating in helping us get this bill introduced. It took some time for me. I wanted to establish clear support from all three counties, and I also was able to get endorsement from the League of Local Governments. This is the bill that will change state law that currently requires us to retrain all of our assessors to be appraisers. This bill, if it's passed and signed by the governor, will circumvent that and only require that to be done after a future reassessment may be done. So it takes out that cumbersome cost that we've discussed. So it now has a number because it was introduced, House Bill 152. It has wide support, and I'll be working on that tomorrow. It has a hearing is scheduled tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. in the House chamber because it's assigned to the Sunset Committee, and that's when and where they'll meet and discuss that. But hopefully it'll be released from committee tomorrow. That's what I'll be working for. The next bill I want to discuss with you replaces two previous bills. As you recall, there were two bills that pertained to DLDOT and DLDOT's authority in land use approvals. Those two bills have been combined into House Substitute 1 for House Bill 101. And this bill offers a lot of new review procedural authority to DLDOT. It's a very lengthy bill. I included a copy of it for your weekend reading. On June 1st, last Wednesday, this bill was discussed at length in the House Transportation Land Use Infrastructure Committee. And I didn't hear anybody speaking for the bill except the sponsor. Ms. Hudson is the sponsor in the House. And Ms. Hudson was commenting. She told right in the very beginning of the committee meeting, the reason this bill was introduced was because of complaints she received in her district about the development of the Barley Mill Shopping Center. And that sort of set the tone for the hearing. Why are you trying to change state law that will change requirements all over the state because of one subdivision that's being put through the mill, the process for approval? So the bill was tabled. It's very lengthy. Even DLDOT is not anxious to take on the new responsibilities that this bill would give them. And they were there at the committee hearing to explain that and to explain that they had some new, they were promulgating some new rules in-house that they felt would address some of Ms. Hudson's issues up in the Barley Mill without, you know, being a statewide law change. So I don't look for that bill to go much further, but I will monitor it and make sure it stays on the table. And if it is released from committee, I'll certainly let you know about it.
What's the number?
House, it's House Substitute 1 for House Bill 101. It's a rewrite of two bills.
I'd like a bill that requires DLDOT to build the roads when we approve developments, to build the roads to accommodate the development right there with us. I'd like a bill for that.
They would probably tell you, because that's been discussed, they would probably tell you that if they were given the money, they'd be happy to do that. That's always been the issue. Mm-hmm. Okay, another one that has been of great interest to us, Senate Bill 64. This is the flooding bill, I call it. This is the bill that gives DNREC and the Secretary of DNREC a lot of new authority in subdivisions and building construction processes based on flooding and stormwater management. This bill was on the Senate agenda May 31st. A number of us made phone calls and asked why it was on the agenda so quickly, and it was taken off the agenda and put on the ready list. I've been trying to talk with Senator Dave McBride, the primary sponsor. He hasn't called me back yet, but I intend to see him this afternoon and ask him what his intentions are, where he sees this bill going. Because my impression, as I had reported to you 2 weeks ago, was that this bill was going to be worked through a separate committee before it actually became law. I guess I had that wrong, because it appears that they're trying to get the bill passed, and then it'll set up a committee of stakeholders that will work through the details. And I'm not sure that's what you folks wanted me to support. So anyway, Senate Bill 64, I'm continuing to watch it, and if it moves again, I will let you know. I have two more bills that you haven't seen yet that I wanted to... Yes, sir.
There has been three representatives I know of has taken their name off in that bill's sponsors. So it's not a very good bill.
I know there's a lot of controversy, Councilman Wilson, and that's why I wanted you folks to know about it. I have two more...
I know, I think... Senator Venables also asked if what the council's take was on that particular bill, and I know at SCAT Friday the concern was that this committee and the secretary would have basically a lot of authority to make decisions that would that they would ask the county and the towns to implement through ordinances. It would be required so that the committee would come back with the results, and the secretary would approve that, and then each town and county would be responsible for passing ordinances to implement whatever those changes are. And that was the concern discussed at SCAT. And, so I don't know if the council wants to take a position on it or not, but definitely that was a major concern with that bill.
Well, didn't this come out of my district for the Prime Hook Beach people that want to have those breaches closed? They're asking for the governor to declare an emergency measure to have the breaches closed?
I think part of it could be that, and mm-hmm. part of it could be the issues like in the Harbison area a couple years ago. Mm-hmm.
Bay Beach work group then. It is coming out.
Well, I'm not sure if it came directly from them or from...
Okay.
There was some... Mike Powell was at the SCAT meeting, and he talked about some of the tidal issues, but also Frank Piorco talked about some of the other flooding issues that have occurred. I mean, there's issues in Newcastle County that are much different from what we face because of their geography.
I think they've gone too far with this. They've taken in too much. You know, I don't think it's really helping my people on Prime Hook Beach mm-hmm. at all. I think it's too complicated.
I think there are a number of concerns behind this bill. As Mr. Baker mentioned, I think there are a number of people who have complained loudly to their state representatives and state senators, and that's the support behind the bill. How far it will go in the real world, I can't say, because there is also a lot of resistance, particularly in this county. So I'm watching that one very carefully.
And the secretary does all his own appointing. It's not elected or nothing else. And so,
yep, one of the flaws that was picked up pretty quickly.
That's a big mistake. Yeah. It would be for the public,
right.
I think.
You still have the flooding issues, but I'm not sure that this is the answer.
Correct. And I thought that Senator McBride's intentions were genuine when he started talking of building together a committee of stakeholders. Then you'd have local people involved in the discussion as to how to solve the real problems without harming other areas that don't need the regulation. So I hope that's what comes out of this. I wanted to also mention two other bills. One has been introduced recently on the 26th of May, House Bill 143. While it doesn't directly involve county government, I thought you might have an interest in it because it talks about the synopsis in this bill says to provide state and local law enforcement agencies with additional resources to fight violent crime, including gun violence. This legislation establishes the fund to combat violent crimes. It talks about an extra $15 levy put on fines that would go into a fund that would establish the fund to combat violent crimes. And some of the dollars, the way I have it allocated in this bill, were that $1 million of those dollars would go to local law enforcement, which we support. Mm-hmm. So I wanted you to read through this and give me your take on it. It's been tabled, so the bill's not moving quickly. But I suspect it's going to come off the table once they make some adjustments because the Police Chiefs Association had some problems with the way it was structured, the financial structuring. Once they get beyond that, they may be working the bill again. So House Bill 143 may have an effect on things that we try to affect as well with our grants and aid and so forth. So I wanted you to give me your take on that one when you can. There's another bill that has not yet been introduced that I wanted to run by you.
What was that last number, Hal?
143.
And who would be paying these fines typically? Where are the fines? The criminal.
The criminal. The violated the law.
I've got no problem with that.
It would be an additional charge on their ticket.
If they got any money?
Well, the whole controversy is, how do we use the money? Where does it go?
Yes.
So the police chiefs association
county government
and some of the towns are concerned about where the funds goes. The bill I just put in your hand has not yet been introduced, but it's being floated about by our friend Brian Hall from the State Planning Office. There really are two bills. I don't have the other one for you, but this one I wanted you to see. This bill clarifies the process by which the state shall review and certify county and municipal comprehensive plans. It also corrects several inconsistencies in the code that have been created over the years as the state's land use laws have changed and evolved. The bill would eliminate the governor's advisory council on planning coordination and transfer its responsibilities to the cabinet committee on land planning issues and the Office of State Planning Coordination. In that sentence, I think we need to see how much change there would be over how they relate with us. So it's about the relationship. And I'd like you to read this bill carefully and offer me some direction because I do expect to see it introduced soon. And don't forget, any bill that isn't finished by the end of June this year will be held over to next year, because this is, we're in the first half of the 146th General Assembly, which is a two-year session. So just because a bill is introduced late doesn't mean it dies at the end of June this year, okay? So this bill may have some implications on the relationship between us and State Planning Office. And in that relationship, I need to know what you think, so that once this bill is moving, I know how to represent your interests.
But it won't affect certification of our plan, will it?
Well, the other bill that's floating, which I haven't seen yet, will change the length of time on a comprehensive plan from 5 years to 10, which many may think is a good idea. That bill has not been passed around like this one has. This one has actually been given to us with, read it and tell us what you think. So the State Planning Office is sort of giving us a heads up on this one. The other bill, I don't know what it contains except for the feature of changing the term of a comp plan from 5 to 10 years. It may have other conditions contained in the bill that we might not like, so I'll tell you about that one. This one I have in writing, so I'd like you to give me your take on that. And that's really all I have today. I don't really need direction, I don't think. I've got your direction on the bills that I'm working. House Bill 152 is about our assessors. The dog bill, House Bill 60, has been tabled in the Ag Committee. House Substitute 1 for House Bill 101, the DelDOT bill, has been tabled, and I really don't expect to see it back soon. And then House Bill 143 is the law enforcement bill. I'd like you to give me some advice, what you think about that, and then just read and offer some thoughts about the state planning bill, because if the state planning bill gets introduced this week, they'll probably try to move it next week. So maybe you could read it and give me some information on what you think about that by next Tuesday.
I have not read it yet, but I have started getting calls of concern.
Right. Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Lang?
In relationship to the bill on the Ball State Planning Coordination, you're going to read duplication. The bill relates to the first two pages of Newcastle, the next two pages or three pages of Kent County, the next two pages of Sussex, and it hits your municipality. So you're going to read a lot of duplication. I just wanted you to know that.
Okay.
Don't get bored with it.
Thank you, sir.
Would it make life easier for you, Mr. Lank, that bill? No.
I was going to say it's the next pages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. We have 11 a.m. public hearing. It's not 11 a.m. yet, so at 11:15. So let's move on to Mr. Izzo, Oakcrest Farm Subdivision.
Good morning.